Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. TourStaffordVA.com. Stafford Museum and Cultural Center are our focus this morning. We're going to get an update on what is happening with that fabulous organization with Sue Henderson, the executive director, and Terry Blanchette is the vice president for museum operations. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Hi. Hi, Sue. Hi, Terry. Terry, this is your first time here, so we need to meet you. We need to officially meet you. And a little bit of background about you. What makes you the fabulous person that you are?
Oh, wow. Gee, such a long list. Actually,
we've got time.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee. My background is in museums because that's what my degree is in. I actually have a master's in history. And when I came to Stafford about five, 6 years ago, I ran into Sue, and we were talking about Stafford history. And what's so cool about here is this is like the birthplace of so many historic events, futures, that sort of thing. But I was in museum field for a long time, and I kept having people come into the museum going, you know, where's my stuff I donated? And I was like, well, it's in the storage. You know, we can't always put it out, right?
Yeah.
I started my own business to help people kind of deal with their history, discover it, preserve it, that sort of thing. And so that's what I was doing when I met Sue. And she said, oh, we've got a museum. We've got some history in Stafford that needs you. And I said,
I can see her saying that, too.
Yeah, she says
it's those exact words.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a quote. But no, and it's been a blast. It's been a blast for me to find out even more about all of the history here in Stafford, how it connects.
Well, and especially in this context of a museum that's you're able to help put a museum together.
Yeah, well, that was part of the fun of it, too. But really what struck me was when they talked about it being a museum and a cultural center. You know, the whole museum thing can be very static, can be very disinteresting in the past. And so combining it with a cultural center is really what got me excited about it, because it's actually kind of, cultural centers are kind of like history in action. Mm-hmm. You know, things are happening. You can have events, you can have programs, you can have experiences besides just wandering in and looking at a case of something, which is really not what we're going for.
Yeah.
So that was the most exciting part for me. Yeah.
What is exciting about this, Sue, and it was a couple of months ago when we talked about the virtual reality concept that you're putting together. You all are really, are really able to start including technology in all this, and some of the latest technology.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it is that back in, I want to say maybe 2017, we set out and had a series of listening conversations in sort of town halls all over the county. I think we had 7 of them, along with economic development. And we were trying to get a sense of where Stafford is now and what do we need and what do people want. Right. And there's lots of different camps, obviously, and it's not all geographics. A lot of it's demographic in terms of age or how long you've lived here. Right. So people who have been here forever or even born and raised here really want to make sure that everyone understands the importance and the value of what has happened here over 450 years. Right. Plus, not if you go back to the dinosaurs, maybe 450,000 years. But, and don't quote me on that, because I have no idea how long ago the dinosaurs were here.
It was a big number.
It was a while.
But so it was partly that. But people who are new are like, I don't know. I don't know anything about the history, but I really wish there was a place they could come and learn. Or and then you say to them, well, what would bring you here? what would bring you out? And more importantly, what would bring your kids out? What would bring your grandkids out? What will keep them coming? Because we have to build for the future. I mean, no offense to anybody. I'm over 60. No offense to anybody in that bracket at all. But we're not building it for us.
Right.
Yeah. You got to build a museum for the future. So when you start talking about that and you start really digging into, and anybody in marketing of any kind will tell you, the demographics are altering significantly into length of attention span or interests or how people want to interact with something. So when we look at all of that in totality, and we've spent now 5-6 years with all that info and talking to museum experts and bringing in people like Terry and museum experts all of all kinds, you have to address technology. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You have to. I was up at the opening. I went with the Virginia Museum Association. We were up at the opening of the, actually maybe before the opening of the Army Museum up at Fort Belvoir. And they have put it all in to this big technology effort. And yes, they have the displays, but they have like maybe 50% of their space is dedicated to this huge interactive technology element. Well, you know, that costs millions and millions and millions of dollars. So we got to find some happy medium there.
Sure.
And maybe at least to start to engage people, to help people understand the importance of history, we start with things like the digital scavenger hunt, right, which is up and running now, which we partnered with our friends at the library. So that's literally like Pokemon for Stafford history.
Yes, but it was... at least the people I know, and my wife loved it. She learned all kinds of things.
Right, and it's good for old and new, but it's using technology.
Yeah.
And it's sort of bringing it, and it doesn't require us to have a physical space, which we don't have yet.
Well, it's also an experience that older and younger can do together.
Yeah.
Which is really another element, you know.
Bring a community together.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're all living longer, I hope. And so, but to be able to join all of the generations together, and to discover things like that is really another element of all of it.
No, it's exciting. This is an exciting time.
It's awesome,
right? And you're all and to have people like you, Terry, like you and like Sue and with others in the community that are behind this effort that are just as enthusiastic and have different talents. This already is a cool museum.
Well, the history is so deep here. And actually, there are so many firsts in this area that I had no idea about. And I've been studying history forever. So coming here to Stafford and realizing how deep it is just the first half of the exciting part. The next half is going to be to share it with everybody,
right,
to get it out there.
Yeah. DiscoverStafford.org. DiscoverStafford.org. That's one of the ways you can find out more about the Stafford Museum and Cultural Center. Terry Blanchette and Sue Henderson here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Are you so...
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Museum and Cultural Center this morning, our focus, Sue Henderson and Terry...
Blanchette.
Okay, I got it. I looked at it and I thought, I didn't know the last time if I said it quite right, so I meant to ask you about that. She's the vice president for museum operations. Sue is the executive director. Just for people who aren't aware, and I think we touched on it, but the museum is a virtual museum right now, and it is a number of people, a number of factors, and a lot of things are going into putting this all together right now. And you're making inroads and having events, and there are things that people can see and do.
Yep, a lot of moving parts, but that's kind of the goal. While we're pulling together the physical aspect of the museum and programming and so forth, we're using the programming side to get everybody engaged in the history that we're going to be talking about more once the museum's built. So,
but it's pretty important to appreciate the back end of things. We are a subsidiary of the Stafford Historic Society. You know, the Stafford Historic Society has been for 60 years or so trying to at least pass on the history that's been having, and maybe for the last 45, with the specific intent of building a museum. But it needed to be rejuvenated. It needed to be jump-started, and it really did, and everybody agrees with that. So we joined forces. The Museum Foundation had been separate for some time in the middle of that. So now it's completely one organization, talking with one voice about the history in this mm-hmm. county, and trying to move things forward, right? With a big umbrella of Discover Stafford, and then, you know, even we're building our website now, so you won't see it yet, but the new website literally has the Historic Society and the museum listed on them, you know, somewhat equally, but. The layers of history that are here, you know, there's plenty of room for everybody to get involved.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the more oars you have in the water, the better it's going to go. So, but what we do not have a physical space. So what we have is these events and programs that we're trying to generate interest and keep people
talking. Some of the best history around.
Oh, it is. And that's what's terrific about it. And I think we all saw that a few years ago. And Sue, you were involved with the Stafford 350.
Yeah.
And you were able to pull just in there. A video came out of that and a number of events. And I think everybody just saw that this like you said, Tara, this area is rich.
Yeah,
with
really
this, deep. Not only this area, but Stafford County specifically.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of the fun part about it, too, because as I said, historian here, U.S. history is my thing. And not realizing that a lot of the beginnings of a lot of the history that we know generally were here in Stafford County. And how big Stafford County was originally, all of that great stuff. But what we're doing now is helping to bridge that. So my museum background, the work I've done is to help those in the Historic Society to make that connection to the museum itself. And that's going to be amazing when it happens. We're gonna
You were a find to have for Sue to find you.
Indeed.
Yeah, you came along just
at
the right time.
I was trying to learn about what her business was. She was at a vending station, and I said, well, where are you at? I'd like to learn more. And she goes, Stafford. And I went, wait, what?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm getting the shirt
Scott,
and the name tag, you know.
Yeah, I brought Scott Majewski over. I went, meet Terry.
Yeah. No, I think it's been great because it is where it's my love is to be able to try to take history and help people understand relevance. You know, history is nothing without the relevance. And it's what I tell people constantly. So helping to bring that relevance to folks so they can appreciate what they've got is.
You know, I do think it's important, too, to say that we are always looking. If you have an interest at all, please get a hold of us. And by
Absolutely.
All means, well, I mean, this is just going to be a growing mm-hmm. project after project and whatever. But we have a core group now of maybe 20, 25 people that, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past. The people who have retired here with resources and backgrounds would boggle your mind.
Yes.
You know, the past deputy director of the Smithsonian mm-hmm. is on one of our committees. And, you know, you have all these people that want to give back, want to contribute in some way. And we're happy to work with whatever your parameters are. If you only want to do 2 weeks a month or you just want to do a single project and walk away, it doesn't matter. But the other thing we're big on, and you and I've talked about this for years and years, I'm very big on partnerships. And so that's where a lot of our events are coming from. We're partnering with the library, partnering with the NAACP, partnering with the Rotary Clubs, anything that, you know, can help people appreciate the history that we have. And every single thing we do has some element of that history. We're not doing this just gratuitously, right? So we're doing it on purpose.
And those people who love history have such a passion for it. I mean, truly, they get excited about it. It may not be their vocation, official vocation, but the skills that you can apply, you know, the things you've learned that you can apply to your love of history is really the fun part, you know. So definitely let us know if it's something that's interesting, that's something that's fun, and you want to get involved.
Well, there's like you said, Terry, there's so much here, and what's going to be exciting about this museum is that you can put the context and put the story together about how Ferry Farm and Belmont and Chatham, all these that a few years ago everybody was just their own little thing, and this we're in Stafford, but you're able to put that in other stories and just really tell the full story.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, I think that's the other element that's so cool about the museum is that it's going to be, in many ways, a hub of connecting all of the great stories that are in the area. We're not here to retell stories that exist already in other locations. I mean,
right.
They do a great job of that. But as you said, Ted, it's sort of, you kind of right now have to know where to go. And we want to help people do that. We want to be a point where you can say, you want to know more about that? Go over here. See these guys. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell the untold elements. There's a few that aren't being told in these specific areas.
A lot, yeah.
Okay, a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot that is not being told.
Exactly. Yeah. Sue was just in a while ago and talked about the salt mines.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, the salt what?
And the gold mines.
Yeah.
We were the first gold rush. Stafford County and the gold that runs through, or did.
I know that whole library.
Was the first gold rush before Sutter's Mill.
I had never heard of that, and that's what came out with the scavenger hunt that you've done. So there are those stories too that are just fascinating to me.
It's amazing, there isn't a element of U.S. and often world history that doesn't touch Stafford.
Yeah.
In some way. And that's going to be the fun part. It's just really being someplace that people can really discover Stafford. Hey, let's use that name.
Discover Stafford. No, the whole thing, there are a number of those things or even small stories. Mm-hmm. And some of these areas you can go and you can still see some of the remnants of.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that's what makes history even better.
Well, I mean, a good example of that, you go out to the stone. Government Island.
Yes.
And you can still see the mm-hmm. marks from the chisels and understanding. The first time I wandered out there, because it was very close to where I initially lived in Stafford, and I walked out there and I was like, what are you kidding me? This is, the White House, stone from the White House is here, and it was here. And then also understanding the Native people story that's there as well. So, I mean, because that goes way back. And, I mean, there's just... Again, there's just so much here that you're just constantly amazed.
And you and Sue make a great team of where you've got interests in so many things.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate that you know that, but seriously, a lot of people have that kind of interest in
absolutely,
a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, even you going, wow, cool, let me go check that out.
Check what?
It's about
there is.
Finding out that those things exist, right?
Right.
It's almost more about marketing than it is about a passion or excitement about the history, because that's so everywhere we look in this county, you just don't know it.
When you can see the amount of history, the diversity of the history that's here appeals to so many people on so many different levels. So that is the fun part, too. That is actually helping people who have all those disparate interests all over understanding the history of that particular interest that they have. Like you said, I mean, who knew about salt mines? But, mineralogists and folks like that with the gold rush and all that,
mm-hmm.
they're in.
Yeah.
This is what we want to do.
And on the other hand, too, and I know the museum touches on things like this of just talking to people like Dan Chichester or others who can talk about before I-95 and what I-95 meant and how it changed this area.
I mean, the truth is that the Historic Society now for at least 20 years has every third Thursday has a lecture on something, and you can come. And now we're live streaming them on Facebook. But last month was Dan Chichester talking about the history of legal issues in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, if you've never heard him talk, he's very entertaining, so you should just watch it for that.
It is.
But the other side of that is that, he was a Commonwealth attorney forever, and he knows all of that history, and he was born and raised here. So things like how the moonshiners Moonshine accidentally got lost inside the Stafford Jail and just got lifted and taken away in the dark of night. And everyone's like, wait, what? You know, or the great train robbery that happened. There was a huge train robbery that happened in the late 1800s out in Aquia. And they literally, it was crazy. I don't even know all the particulars, but I remember hearing about it going, what? And I mean, it was one of those adventure stories that seriously somebody should make into a movie.
Yeah.
Because it was over the Beanpole Bridge, you know, the super high bridge that goes over Aquia Creek.
Yeah.
And they tossed their stuff out and jumped it. And there was, I mean, it was like a crazy train robbery plan. So you have these kinds of stories that not just set a place in time or an event, but really give you a sense of the characters that were here. And it's about the people who were here more than anything
else.
It's
always about the people.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about history. And the Park Service started doing that years ago of instead of just talking about battles here, there, and pinpointing things, but telling stories and reading diary entries.
Oh, when I was younger, I mean, people always tell me, I didn't take history. I didn't like history because it was boring. I'm not a battle history. I tell people that all the time. What I love is the people. And, you know, going past old buildings, wondering who lived there, understanding some of the well-known folks that came out of the area. And it's the people history that gets me excited. So.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll continue this talk and talk about, because you've touched on it a little bit, about just getting other people involved and how people can get involved in help things along. The Stafford Museum and Cultural Center are focused. DiscoverStafford.org. DiscoverStafford.org. Check that out. Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, TourStaffordVA.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking to Stafford Museum and Cultural Center this morning. Terry Blanchett is here, the Vice President for Museum Operations, and Sue Henderson here, the Executive Director. So we sort of touched on it a little bit at the start, but people getting involved. What kind of things are you looking for?
I'm looking for excited people, people who want to make a difference and get the word out. I mean, like Sue was saying, the skill sets that we have here, both in retirement community and I mean, it's the bedroom community of D.C. for heaven's sakes. I mean, there's all sorts of skills in the area, and you know, even if you don't know what your skill set would bring. You know, we'll help you. We'll help you figure that out. We'll put you to work.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting because it kind of breaks into two different parts, right? It's operational stuff or it's programmatic, but events. But in terms of the operational side of things, people who understand finance, we're getting ready to start a big fundraising campaign. We're going to need help with that in general. Business people, anybody that has those kinds of interests. We always need marketing. We really need to get our social media presence. It's very robust now, but we really need to get a handle on all of that being integrated and make a little more sense out there in the public. And as I said, we're rebuilding a website right now. Photographers can always use that, you know, so that's just something that maybe I can just say, hey, I need images of this during different seasons or whatever.
I think it'd be just really helpful to have people who are interested and want to make that difference because I guarantee you we'll help you take your skills and apply them in a way that's going to benefit.
We have a whole committee that's working on policies and programs. So if you're like one of those kind of wonks that wants to help us with some of that, and there are plenty of people that like that stuff, you know, we could use that. And that's almost completely independent.
Yeah.
But then we have all these events and programs. We're getting ready to start an oral history project. If you want to really just talk to some people and you know, learn a little bit about that, that would be amazing. You know, we would like to have a cadre of a few people that we can train once a year or whatever, and then you have an independent assignment to go and talk to this person or that person and report back. So you have these kinds of things. And then, of course, you have the partnerships. So if you're part of an organization or a business that wants to partner with us, by all means, get a hold of us, because these partnerships are essential to being able to accomplish a lot with a few people, right? And if you have a partnership with somebody who has a different kind of thing, as long as our goals align, and I've never found people that we couldn't find a way to align our goals, you can have amazing partnerships that it has to be win-win-win, right? For me, it's never a win-lose situation. I'm not interested.
I always thought during the Stafford 350, was that when Tell Your Stafford Story?
Yeah.
Sort of, and that was a great idea.
Yeah, exactly, and we're kind of taking off on that. I think there's maybe 35 or 40 of those in the can, so to speak. They're all posted on YouTube. You can look them up. We're trying to revitalize a little of that, but that wasn't actually documentary. It was wonderful, but it wasn't what you would call a traditional oral history, where you would have something that's audio and written, and you could really get a sense of a space and time. And I'm very conscious. I think all of us are very conscious of the greatest generation leaving us soon.
Right.
There's a lot of people. For instance, there are still people alive who were displaced when Quantico took one-third of the county for World War II. We really need to get those stories, right?
Yeah.
They were children then, but they would remember what that was like. And it was a horrible flood. It washed out the Falmouth Bridge. So even people trying to, and most of the roads then were not paved, and it was mud, and it had to have been much more of a traumatic experience for them. And everyone did it on behalf of the country. There was not that. But when you're leaving your church, when you're leaving your home, when you're leaving your post office in, you know, and you're given 5 days, and it's torrential downpour. Imagine if somebody did that to you right now in your house. Like, you're just all over the map. And how do you do that?
Right.
And where do you go? And where do you take your stuff? And how do you even get it out of here? I'd really want to make sure we capture those kinds of things, right, before we lose them.
I mean, so many people really, when I talk about their history, they just think it's not important. I mean, it's just something that they lived. And that's the point. You know, we want to know. We want to find out. We want to hear some of the firsthand stories and artifacts, things that are around that help them understand, help us understand what they went through. And again, when you're living it at the moment, you don't go, wow, this is going to be a historic moment in time.
Right.
It's just something you live through.
Even things like taking pictures.
Yes.
If you've got pictures from back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
From around here before a lot of things were developed. Those
pictures,
are interesting to see.
Oh, yeah, pictures and papers. And, I mean, things that we all just take for granted that nobody's going to want, that we think this is just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest, it's not everything that you have in your house right now that's of interest, of historic interest. But that's part of it, is to talk to folks and help them understand what they do have and help capture that, because it is dwindling very quickly.
And again, it's about these people stories.
Absolutely.
People stories, right?
People. If you have someone who's telling that story of what happened to them during that period, that's light years better than one photo and us trying to interpret what happened then, right?
Yep.
You let people's voice tell that story. And certainly in terms of the last half of the 20th century, we need to capture those while we can. And then we need to go back. Obviously, there's tons of stuff that we haven't captured. I wish we could capture more of the fishing industry in the early 1900s off of Widewater.
There's a write-up on the mentioning the Stafford Museum and Cultural Center Facebook page great picture and a great write-up about that. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, exactly. And so those kinds of stories, we have actually gathered a lot of those over 50 years. The Historic Society has been amazing about collecting those, but they didn't really have a mechanism for getting the word out about them, right? So now we're also, that's why you're seeing those on our Facebook pages, because we're trying to bring out some of those stories that we know people probably aren't aware of. And the most popular ones are here in, or then and now.
Yeah.
This is what Garrisonville Road looked like at this junction, you know, in the 1930s. And look what it looks like now, like literally putting those pictures next to each other.
Someday I want to go with Gary Snellings and just go down 17.
100%.
And just talk about and just look at stuff and stop and say, what was here and that kind of thing.
But I was at a meeting maybe 5-6 years ago where he was asked to speak about the artisan history in Hartwood, and he was talking about carvings and how he learned it from his grandpa. And he had some examples, like, you know, of a stick or you know, of a walking stick or whatever. That is a sense of place, right? If you take someone, I'm going to say in his 70s, I don't know how old Gary is, sorry if I'm offending, but if you take someone in their 70s and they start talking about what their grandpa taught them when they were living on the farm, you're now really into the early 1900s.
And that's what I mean, because people would not go, oh my gosh, let me just tell you this fabulous history of mine. It's not that. It's the unofficial history, the personal stories.
Well, yeah, and Frank White talking about how he was the first, you
bus
know,
driver
to get kids to school, and he just barely turned 16.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, and this is going to be the kind of museum, it already is, Terry, that for the people who say, I don't like history, it's boring.
Oh, yeah.
And just these things we've talked about, none of this is boring because it's people's stories.
Right. I mean, I get it all the time. They say, oh, I didn't like history when I was younger. I said, hey, either. I turned out to get a master's in it. Why? Because there was the people side.
Yeah.
There's that element that connects everybody. And and we all have it. We all make it constantly.
And that's what's great about this museum, that you're able to use a lot of the current stuff. You're able to tell stories and put it together that way.
I think it's going to really capture the personality of Stafford. It's history, but it's going to really there is a living thing of Stafford that it's going to connect to, and I think that's going to be the really great part.
You've got events coming up.
We do. We have quite a few. We just finished one last weekend called Cheers to Stafford, which was working with the folks at Adventure Brewing to recreate or maybe improve Mercer's Marlboro Brewery from the 1760s. And it was such a abysmal beer, apparently, that they only sold two casks, and it was routinely panned in Williamsburg. So the folks at Adventure said, well, we think we might be able to improve on that. So we unveiled their Mercer's Marlboro Shandy.
How fun.
And had a big party out at a historic property out in Hartwood. And it was really a great event. And, you know, maybe 150, 200 people came and just unveiled it. You can go into Adventure Brewing in any of their places and ask for Marlboro Shandy, and you'll be able to try it. But it's very refreshing, light summer kind of shandy. But what we were doing there literally was tying it to history. Mm-hmm. Who knew there was the first brewery in the region was in Stafford at Marlboro? Right.
Again,
it wasn't a huge
story.
Success.
Of course, we should have like a ding in the background every time we talk about
ding,
ding,
ding.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And then our next event is Juneteenth on the 17th in partnership with the NAACP. And that's going to be just a spectacular day. There's a lot of wonderful history things happening there, both in celebration of the actual emancipation final proclamation that happened down in Texas when they finally found out they were free, but also in terms of Stafford's African-American history and all of that. So it's a great day to celebrate history. So that's a wonderful thing too. And then Via Calori, which is just spectacular. You know, the street painting festival, it's Via Calori Stafford. But this year, the new element is starting the 1st of July through the end of August, artists who are participating in Via Calori will be on display at Howell Library in Office 17.
Yeah.
Used to be called England Run. So they're going to have a big display there, and the reception for that is August 8th. And that will also include a tutorial where people can learn more about how to paint on the street. And we're going to take over part of the parking lot there and do that. So, and then Via Calori is in late September. So we'll be back to talk more about that later.
Yeah, yeah. So, that is just grown ahead. It has a life of its own.
As it's supposed to, right?
It
was supposed to celebrate the culture and the artistic culture, of which there is a great deal that is hidden here in the county. So that was part of that project, too. And that is in partnership with the North Stafford and the Stafford Rotaries.
Yeah.
And they're amazing partners. They're doing amazing work for that.
Boy, they're so enthusiastic about that. Talk about an event that a group has made their own. That really is an example.
You know what's really kind of fun about that, too, is it's I don't have a particularly strong artistic bent myself, but being able to kind of get involved in something like that, too, is fabulous.
I mean, yeah, you watch it being created.
Yeah.
DiscoverStafford.org. More information on all this. DiscoverStafford.org. Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. Sue Anderson and Terry Blanchette here with the Stafford Museum and Cultural Center. We will conclude this morning when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County this morning and Stafford Tourism. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. Terry Blanchette and Sue Henderson here. A couple other things. The murals in schools, I kept seeing things about that, and that was you guys.
Well, that is us. We were looking for a way to get some history into little kids, to be honest with you. And so we started talking with the Stafford Education Foundation and the folks at Stafford School System. And we have a three-way partnership there that now we're going into our third year. We have 9 applicants this year, which we have not approved yet, so I'm not going to talk much about them. But we've now done, I think, 17, 18 murals in schools. If you have a school and your kids are in school, and you don't have a history mural, get on the principal, because that's perfectly capable. And what we basically do is fund it, and we ask the schools to create something that makes sense for them. But everything from the Gwyneth Wall, at Garrisonville.
Yeah.
To the Drew Middle School had that unveiling a couple years ago for the integration. Three of the 5 were there that tried to integrate the schools in 1960. You just have anything like that. And so we're excited. We're excited that project is actually getting out where people can see it. And working in a way that works educationally. And the other big project that we have going is working with the Langley Flight Foundation to interpret. They're in the process of rebuilding Langley's Aerodrome Number 5 that was the first mechanical flight, not manned, but the first mechanical flight. Ding.
Ding. I was waiting.
The first mechanical flight ever off of Widewater. And they're recreating that aerodrome, and it will be unveiled next May at Stafford Airport with a great series of displays. So we're working very closely with them. But again, we've also started to really work on that kind of project. So some of this stuff is behind the scenes that you don't see unless you're physically in that space or whatever. But it's a lot of fun.
But again, the Langley flight, that will be something we talk about over the next year. And again, it's something that has never been out there discussed a lot, but like you have said over and over, Terry, there's a lot of history around here and a lot that you're still uncovering or dusting off and telling the stories.
I think dusting off is probably accurate. Yeah, and again, I think people don't know those stories exist. They don't know what stories they have that would also help us tell the bigger story either.
Yeah.
So
that's another thing. If you just want to research or write something, we got stories that need researchers. So
absolutely. I mean, we've got some of the Historic Society. I went out to her house. She had the crates, fruit crates from the grocery stores that used to be in the area, and they were so coveted, and people would line up to get them, and she has them, but she knows the story about a lot of the local markets in the area. So again, it's part of the life-lived sort of element that we want to try to capture, to make sure that those little bits of history aren't written anywhere. So we need to actually collect them to tell even a deeper story.
And those are the kinds of things that really do sort of put the puzzle together.
Yeah.
And you might think that something that you found in a book or a clipping or something that's tied to your family is just who would be interested.
Exactly.
A lot of people might be interested.
Absolutely.
And it's important to celebrate who we were and who we are.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It's who we were then, but also who we are now.
Yeah.
At whatever level that is. And we are much more diverse, and we are much larger now than maybe we were 100 years ago. And we need to capture all of that. And there's no part of that history that isn't important.
Well, I can't wait to do future shows with you two, just because there really is. We've just kind of talked off the cuff, but as things really come together,
yes.
This is really exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the best things I've done so far. So I'm very excited.
Stay tuned. It's just going to get cooler.
Oh, it is. No, when we did the virtual reality show, I didn't know that was even. I had heard about it, or it had been mentioned to me. Either Scott or Sue had mentioned it, but to hear the developers talk about how they did it and what you could see, I mean, that's. I just thought this whole project, this thing is going to be something.
It's all exciting. There's no element to this that's not going to be and hasn't been exciting to be able to. So.
And then I met you, Terry, and you come in and you've got your enthusiastic perspective along with everybody else, and this is good stuff.
I'm very excited. Excited. Thanks for letting me come in.
No, I hope to hear from and do more of these shows, because it really is coming together in some exciting ways.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be working on a big fundraising campaign. You'll be hearing a lot more about that. Everyone will. But
perfect.
But because we have to build a museum.
Yeah. DiscoverStafford.org. Sue Henderson and Terry Blanchett, thank you both. Talk again soon. This is
we'll
good
see you
stuff.
Again.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.